Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, Mount House, the 12th Hour. In Liberty Hill, Texas, today is June 12, 2014, or the city in 15, 2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying hearts are onward bound, yet at my feet on higher ground. Now lift me up and let me stand, but faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane now I have found. Yeah, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Now lift me up and I shall stand, my faith on heaven's table lies, a higher place than I have found. Yeah, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to lift up off the world though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Now lift me up and I shall stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I found. Yeah, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I pray till heaven I'm found, yeah, lead me on to higher ground. Yeah, lift me up and I shall stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Yeah, plant my feet on higher ground. Part 1 of the Beast 666, False Prophet, Mother of Harlots, Man of Sin, Who Are They? We're going to do a little review from a study yesterday. It says, for the mystical number 666 of the beast in the Revelation 13:18, as applied to the papacy, proves to be unscriptural as well as unreasonable. While the numerical letters of the title of the Pope bears the number 666, there are many other titles as well as names of the individual who bear the same number by simply computing the numerical value of the letters in the title. Our name, we find it fits many, hence we must look for the biblical proof to make the application, except we thus prove the idea, it would be improper and unfair to apply the symbol to any one individual. The idea concerning the symbolical application of the false prophet of Revelation 19:20, the woman on the scarlet colored beast, Revelation 17, the leopard-like beast, Revelation 13, the scarlet colored beast of Revelation 17, and the nondescript beast of Daniel 7, as being symbols of the papacy, is unbiblical and also illogical. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, That's your nondescript beast of Daniel, the leopard-like beast, that came out of the sea. He started out as a nondescript beast, Daniel's fourth beast at the cross. He graduated the second phase of an ecclesiastical realm in 538 to 1798, covering the 1260-year Dark Ages. And then the third phase of this nondescript beast of Daniel's is a leopard-like beast. Okay. So it says, and he causes the earth, and the earthen policy is the United States. The lamb-like beast represents our government. The two horns represents the Democratic-Republican Party. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. In other words, he reestablishes it. Let the Catholic Church, the Pope, come over here and reestablish his hierarchy right there in Babylon, right there in Washington, D.C., antithetical Babylon's headquarters, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. 9/11/2001, World Trade Centers. Fire came down out of heaven, destroyed the World Trade Centers, and deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying unto them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Okay, so the little two-horned beast, the mouthpiece for the two-horned beast was George W. Bush, Jr. His name Bush is encrypted in the name Nebuchadnezzar, so he's antitypical Nebuchadnezzar. And he is the man that speaks for this two-horned beast. In other words, he is the two-horned beast. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand on their foreheads, or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Okay. So here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666, Revelation 13:11-18. And deceiveth him that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Okay. So now, this beast is the two-horned beast. The false prophet is the one that has the power to do miracles in the sight of the beast. The false prophet has turned out to be a Nebuchadnezzar's son, and a typical Obama, Belshazzar, Revelation 13:14. For the beast spoken of here is the one with the lamb-like horns, but someone else is introduced by the pronoun he, who had power to do miracles in the sight of the beast, the lamb-like. The following scriptures will make clear who it is that performs the miracles. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. That is before the two-horned beast, which is the United States government. Okay, the false prophet come from another land. He comes over and takes over the beast. He's the mouthpiece for the beast, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. Now, George Bush was a mouthpiece for the beast when he came into power in 2001. But he passed the keys on to the false prophet, so now the false prophet's riding the back of the beast, and now the false prophet is commanding the beast. For these both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with the brimstone, Revelation 19:20. So there's the end of the Bushes and the Carlyle groups and those that are stealing the wealth of the world, that Carlyle group run by the Bushes. Okay, these both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burns of brimstone, Revelation 19:20. Therefore, the miracles are wrought by the false prophet in the sight of the two horned beast. There are many beasts spoken of in the Bible, but this two horned beast is the only one that can be termed a man. Okay. So, George W. Bush, name encrypted in the name Nebuchadnezzar, is the man that this is termed as. But whenever he passes the keys on to the false prophet, and he's in charge of the beast now, then that's your man. It will be noticed that from the 11th verse on of the 13th chapter of Revelation, the scripture speaks of the two-horned beast and closes with the words, "For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Therefore, the mystical number 666 belongs to the two-horned beast and none other. However, we may not conclude that no one before it could have such a number." Okay, so now, Babylon and the type didn't come to its end with Nebuchadnezzar. Babylon came to its end with his son Belshazzar. That was ruling in the temple in Babylon at the time that the Medes and the Persians, Cyrus and Darius, invaded Babylon, and the king was destroyed and all his 1,000 lords in one night. Okay, while they were banqueting, it says, "So therefore, Obama will be as antitypical Belshazzar and antitypical Babylon. He will also meet his demise in one night, when again the antitypical meets the Persians, that is going to come again and destroy Babylon." For the idea that the papacy is called the beast is altogether wrong. The papacy is represented by the symbols on the two different beasts. First, on the nondescript beast of Daniel 7, by the little horn having eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. Second, on a leopard like of Revelation 13, by the head that was wounded to death. These beasts are universal, representing the entire world and their time, both civil and religious. Therefore, it could not be said of either beast, it is a man. For the papacy, being only a part of both beasts, head on one and simply a wounded head on the other, cannot be called the beast. For the two-horned beast is the only one representing a local religio-political system, a government. So you see, the little two-horned beast is represented by a local government which is run by one man. Okay. Therefore, of him alone can it be said, it is a man. And your Babylon government with the beast is run by many, many people. But our local government is run by one man. Thus, whosoever shall stand at the head of that persecuting power as described in this chapter and represented by the beast is the one who shall bear the mystical number 666. The spirit of the prophecy also states that the king of the north brought to view in Daniel 11:45, and the two-horned beast of Revelation 13 is the same power, and that it shall bear this mystical number. The king of the north is Rome, which would be the Pope today, is the king of the north. We quote, "This power is the last that treads down the true church of Yahweh." So we know the Catholic Church, his power is the one through the Jesuits that have infiltrated the Adventist Church, and that's what treads down the true Church of Elohim today, with that influence. And of the Jesuits, that was perpetrated all the way from 1890, clear on through to 2002, at Kermit, Texas. And as the true Church is still trodden down and cast out by all Christendom, it follows that the last oppressive power has not come unto his end, and Michael has not stood up. This the last power that treads down the saints is brought to view in Revelation 13:11-18. For his number is 666, a word to the flock, page 8-9. We have proved the truth of the number one way, now we shall prove it in another. For the destruction of the beast and the prophet. For the destruction of both the false prophet and the beast is clearly foretold. And the beast is taken with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him. These both were cast alive into a lake of the fire, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Revelation 19:20-21. Their final end is accomplished by being cast alive into a lake of the fire. But the rest of the world, the remnant, were all slain with the sword which proceeded out of his mouth, and the fowls were filled with their flesh. The lake of fire into which the beast and the false prophet are cast cannot be at the coming of the Yahshua in the cloud, for the wicked are not destroyed by the fire at that time, but with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. For the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire after the sixth plague and before the end of the world, this destruction of the remnant. Those that were left after the destruction of the beast and the prophet is not after the millennium, for the wicked at that time are not destroyed by the sword that proceeded out of his mouth, but by the fire that came down from Elohim out of the heaven and devoured them. Revelation 20, verse 9. After the millennium and the destruction of the wicked, and no living creature will eat another. See Isaiah 11:6-9. Hence the beast and the false prophet are cast into a lake of the fire before the millennium, and that lake of fire becomes a type of the destruction of the wicked on the other side of the millennium, the second death, for the final destruction of the entire multitude is described in the following words, and death and hell were cast into a lake of the fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of the life was cast into the lake of the fire, Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15. Thus the world would be given an example, or an ensample, before the millennium of the destruction after the 1,000 years had ended. For the example of the beast and the false prophet is to show that all the wicked will be thrown alive into a lake of the fire, and that is the second death. Speaking of the everlasting ruin of the devil, the word says, and the devil that deceived them is cast into a lake of the fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. So the beast and the false prophet is a type of Satan and the wicked at the end of the millennium. The beast and the false prophet before the millennium, here in the 12th parabolic hour, and Satan and his cohorts also at the end of the 12th parabolic hour, at the end of the millennium, Revelation 20:10. That is, the beast and the false prophet do not come up in the second resurrection, exemplifying that there is no resurrection from the second death. Again, we see there is a type for every event, and let none despise types, for where there is no type, there is no truth. The number 666 is further proven by the destruction of the man of sin. All right, let's look at the destruction of the man of sin. It says, mark carefully, according to the following testimony, the destruction of the papacy is at another time and by a different process. Paul states plainly that the man of sin will continue until the second advent. To the very close of time, he will carry forward his work of deception. Okay, as I told you before, the man of sin was the last prophet put in charge of the candlestick of Laodicea before Willis Johnson. And the second advent started when the judgment of the living started in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. This is when Yahshua came to the threshold of the house. This is when he changed the guard. He closed out the judgment of the dead with the house of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the house of Israel. At Gilead Center, and that was his second advent. Okay. It says the man of sin continues up until the second advent. The second advent came at the end of the 11th parabolic hour and at the beginning of the 12th. So it says, to the very close of the time, he will carry forward the work of deception. Okay, so to the very close of the time for the Adventist Church, now this word close of the time, Volume 3 of the Testimony, Volume 3, says Christ says in verse, page 267, 268, or 266 and 267, I believe. One or the other, but anyway, she says that the closing work for the Adventist Church is sealed 144,000. Okay, she said read Ezekiel 9 for that closing work. Alright, so now we know where Ezekiel 9 started, and that's what they started the judgment at the house of Yahweh. That's what it started the ancient men for the house, at the closing of the 11th hour in Kermit, Texas. So the 11th hour had a closing time in 2002. The Adventist Church had a closing time for the dead and for the seventh candlestick, which represented the Adventist Church. And so that was at the second advent of Yahshua. Because he comes invisibly in his second advent. That's when it says in Matthew 24, watch ye therefore and be ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. It says, watch and be ready. To the very close of time, he will carry forward his work of the deception, as we continue to read. For that's found in the Great Controversy, page 579. It says, thus the papacy is to remain until the second coming of Yahshua, at which time the wicked are to be destroyed by the brightness of his coming. Therefore, the papacy is one thing, and the false prophet another, and the beast still another. For the beast, 666, and the false prophet, who are to be cast alive into the lake of the fire, are the ones who develop the image of the beast, a likeness of the worship in the period of the 1260 years, for the time of that wholesale deception is at hand. For it will take more than great knowledge of the theology to escape the most powerful tract of satanic majesty has ever devised, for the wonderful miracles will be convincing, and the apparently genuine spirit of the worship will bring deep conviction upon those who are subject to be misled. As the great men of the world declare its worship true, multitudes will accept their decision without the personal investigation. Add to all of these the fallen declaration of the civil authorities. As many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And we have an overwhelming power with the human strength, which the human strength cannot resist for a moment, only by a prophetic knowledge of the truth with the confidence, and it thus saith the Yahweh, and in the power of his spirit can one escape the wily snares of the devil. Now the man of sin starts out as a true prophet. He ends up a false prophet like Balaam did. Balaam sold out Israel for filthy lucre with the king of Moab. So likewise we have the false prophet turned into be an adversary at the end of his ministry, and rightly so. As I said, the man of sin starts out as a true prophet. Judas Iscariot, the 12th apostle, started out as a true apostle, believe it or not. He was Yahshua gave him, along with the other 11, the power to raise the dead. the power to preach the gospel, the power to heal the sick. He gave Judas the same gifts that he gave to the other 11, but he despised his gifts, and he was a traitor at heart. He was sent there for that reason. But he did, he could have been converted. He could have been transformed. He could have changed. Had he wanted to, that was his choice. It's like Satan, Lucifer, is given a choice for 4,000 years. He could have changed. He could have acknowledged Yahshua at last and been saved. Okay, it says, let's continue on. For the mother of harlots, not the beast. It's not the beast. It has been explained that the papacy would remain unto the left. If the woman on the scarlet-colored beast, that is, Babylon the Great, comes to her end at a different time and in another way, she cannot be a symbol of the papacy, as some have thought. Revelation 17:16. Speaking of the woman and the horns of the scarlet-colored beast, Satan says, and the 10 horns which thou sawest on the beast, he shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So, the Catholic Church is in charge of the communist governments of the world. They have thrown in a league with the Catholic Church, even though the communist governments hate religion. They have compromised and thrown in with the beast because they're seeing that he is the number one leader and taken over the world, and they wanted to have a part in it, and so therefore they lend their power to that beast for 1 hour. But when they see that beast coming to his end, they see what's bringing the beast to his end, and that's the mystery Babylon. That woman sitting upon that beast is bringing her to an end. So the 10 horns, they make war then with that mystery of Babylon. That woman on that beast, which is Obama, they make war with that. And what do? They destroy it, eat her flesh and burn her fire. And then after they do that, they have just a little season when they are in power, because they have defeated the woman. But the thing is, they decide that they've got to go now and make war with the Lamb. First, they make war with Babylon and defeat her. The 10 horns represent the communist nations that have given their power they have power 1 hour. They said that they have power 1 hour. They rule as 1 hour with the beast. Okay. And so that would be your Jesuit. That's your Jesuit arm. Those 10 horms are the arm, the spy network of the Catholic Church, which is the Jesuits. And now we have a Jesuit Pope today. So he's going to lead out and declaring war, no doubt, against the Lamb. After they eat the flesh of Babylon and burn her with fire, then they're the only one that has the power to do this. Because it says in Revelation 13, who has power? It says, who can make war with the beast? No one. Only the Lamb can overcome him. Okay, Revelation 17:16, speaking of the woman, and the horns of the scarlet-colored beast, said, and the 10 horns which thou sawest on the beast, they shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. So you have this new world order, which is your Catholic Church, run by the Pope. Well, actually run by the two popes, the visible Pope and your invisible Pope. They're both Jesuits. Okay, you have one is called the Black Pope, and the other is called, no doubt, I guess, the White Pope. No, she is not cast into a lake of fire like the beast and the false prophet. But they, the horns, representing the communist nations of the world. In other words, these horns don't have no crown. They're showing that they are ruling together with the beast. Shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh. Thus the woman's destruction is at a different time and in another way, and that of the papacy and the false prophet. Okay, so you destroy the Babylonian system, but you don't destroy Obama, the false prophet, with it. Okay, so the Catholic Church that those 10 horns destroy Doblin's business operation. Put it completely out of business as far as merchandising with the merchants of the earth. The term merchandise and false doctrines. Okay, thus the woman's destruction is at a different time and in another way, and that of the papacy, the false prophet to be. Since what has been said cannot be contradicted, it is evident that the beast is the one thing, the false prophet another, and the papacy another, and the woman still another. It is of the great importance that these things be correctly understood, for by the knowledge of truth only can Elohim lead his people on to victory. So we show here then that the woman is the woman is destroyed in one place. The papacy, representing the Catholic Church, is destroyed in another place. The false prophet is destroyed in another place. And the beast in another place, which is a world government of the papacy that she's running. So you kill the live mouthpiece, you kill the commercial system, okay, and you kill the false prophet. So you got four here. You got the woman to kill, you got the papacy, the false prophet, and the beast. Okay, since what has been said cannot be contradicted, it is evident that the beast is one thing, the false prophet another, and the papacy another, and the woman still another. That's four of them. It is of the great importance that these things be correctly understood, for by the knowledge of the truth only can Elohim lead his people on to the victory. For the time of the woman's destruction, now we're going to deal with that. It says, to determine the time of the Babylon's, (woman's) destruction, it will be necessary to refer unto Daniel 7:11-12. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given unto the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had the dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season in time. Concerning the rest of the beast, the lion, the bear, and the leopard, their dominion was taken away, but they remained alive, while the nondescript beast came to his end. For the beast that remained alive represent the descendants of the three ancient empires, while their dominion is taken away, the inhabitants, beasts, are here at the present time. For the end of these beasts would mean the end of the world. For the nondescript beast is not the last beast of this world's history, for he is followed by the leopard-like beast at Revelation 13:1, and the scarlet-colored beast, Revelation 17:3. The latter is the last symbol of the historical event, by which this present world and the one after the millennium shall be brought to an end, as previously explained. Therefore, the destruction of the nondescript beast is before the second coming of the Yahshua. If the lives of the three beasts before it were prolonged, their time cannot be extended beyond the second coming of Yahshua, says Daniel. Their lives were prolonged for a season of time. Therefore, from the time the body of the nondescript beast is destroyed, there will be a season and a time, 15 months, until the end of this present world, and that will be the time when the seven last plagues are poured out. And so this is a little bit different than the way it has previously been taught by Vidyadhara and Ellen G. White, that things take place during the plagues for the bringing of the church and so forth to an end. But no, after everything is brought to their end and destroyed, in the form of the church, and then when you have the seven last plagues during that 15-month period at the end, that's when all of the living, those that didn't get cast to the lake of fire, burned with brimstone as a type in Revelation 19:20, then they are destroyed at the brightness of his coming at the end of the 15 months. If Daniel means a year by time and a half year by dividing the time in the 25th verse of the same chapter, then he must mean the same in the 12th verse. If the interpretation holds good in the one verse, it must be in the other. Therefore, time would be 1 year and a season a fourth part of a year, thus making a total of 1 year and 3 months. However, the period in the 25th verse has a prophetic term of 1260 days, years, but in the time in the 12th verse cannot be prophetic, for then it would mean 450 literal years. It is evident that from the time that the beast is destroyed until the end, there will be a 15 literal months. For it shall be noticed that the destruction of the beast is a prophetic of the destruction of the woman. We quote the scripture referring to both. I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame, Daniel 7:11. This is the little two-horned beast. Now this is the United States, and this is this government. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate, and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire, Revelation 17:16. And the one for giving the beast the body to be destroyed of the beast is in Daniel 7:11. For the destruction is alike of both beast and woman. Furthermore, it is the period with the symbol of the woman riding on the beast that makes an image of the leopard-like in his first stage before wounded, or of the nondescript beast in his second stage, for the 1260-year period was represented by both beasts. The image is a false religion internationally set up. Therefore, one is the likeness of the other. Thus, the destruction of the original nondescript beast is a prophecy of the destruction of the woman. And the destruction of the one is the destruction of the other. It prophetically signifies that the image, woman riding on the beast, the union of that religio-political system, shall perish 15 months. During that 15 months, a season at a time at the end of probation. Before the remnant rest of the world. Let it be remembered that the Daniel's vision is a prophecy, and the vision by John is revelation. Therefore, the destruction of the nondescript beast is the prophecy, and the destruction of the woman is the fulfillment of the prophecy. So we have a little problem here with V.P. Hollis here. He says right here, and I'm going to read it again. It says, thus the destruction of the original nondescript beast is a prophecy of the destruction of the woman. And the destruction of the one is the destruction of the other. It prophetically signifies that the image, the scarlet colored beast, Revelation 17, where the woman is riding on the beast, this is not the two-horned beast now, that represents the United States government, the union of that religio-political system shall perish during the 15 months at the end of the millennium. That's right. I mean, at the end of the 12th hour. Here, a probation at a time, season at a time, before the remnant rest of the world. Let it be remembered that the Daniel's vision is a prophecy. Well, the remnant and the rest of the world, they're destroyed before probation closes. Revelation 19:20. They're the ones that the beast and the false prophet deceived. That's in Revelation 19:20. They were both cast alive in the lake of fire, and the remnant that and those that they had deceived was cast in the lake of fire with them. That's before probation closes. That's not during that 15 months period. Therefore, the destruction of the nondescript beast is a prophecy, and the destruction of the woman is a fulfillment of the prophecy. Okay. Well, that would take place during the 15 months, not after. That would be when probation closes and the plagues are poured out. That would be during it, not at the end of it. Okay, for the following scripture referring to the time that the woman was destroyed said, And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in the heavens saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory, honor and power unto Yahweh our Elohim, for true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped Elohim that sat on the throne. Actually, they worshipped Yahshua that sat upon this traveling throne of Ezekiel 1, where he came to this earth to start the judgment and to start separating the nations and judging them and destroying the wicked and saving the righteous. Praise our Elohim, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Revelation 19:1-5. For the woman was destroyed, and her smoke ascended up forever and ever, while the elders and the beasts were before the throne. This proves that the judgment in the most holy apartment had not ceased, or at least the tribunal had not yet vacated the place of the judgment. Explained in another chapter, for after the saints are numbered and sealed, their sins blotted out in the aforesaid judgment, probation shall close, and the sanctuary where the judgment is held shall be vacated of the elders and the beast, as well as the Lamb, and of the entire angelic host, after which no man was able to enter the temple till the 7 last plagues were fulfilled. See Revelation 15:5-8. Thus it is clear that the woman was destroyed before the 7 last plagues were poured out. So that is true. The woman was destroyed, which represents the mouthpiece for Babylon. Okay. So, quoting Revelation 19:6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and actually I should be more concise about this woman as represented by the Obama and our government administration today. So Obama definitely has his end. You can go read about that also in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. Talks about the Prince of Tyrus having his end, and talks about him having his end in Isaiah 14. Same one. One and the same. That's talking about this woman riding this beast. According to Revelation 19:6, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Yahweh Elohim omnipotent reigneth. While Yahshua is in the sanctuary, and the judgment in the progress, he does not reign, but is a priest and an advocate, blotting out the sins of the righteous. But when he is through with the investigative judgment, then he is crowned King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns, Revelation 19:16. After the smoke of the woman rose up forever and ever, the heavenly host shouted, Hallelujah, for the Yahweh Elohim omnipotent reigneth. Therefore all the saints were judged prior unto the destruction of the woman. And after she is burned with the fire, Yahshua is crowned King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns. Then the temple will be vacated and the 7 last plagues poured out. Okay, that makes plenty of sense. For the following scriptures bear further evidence. Said the heavenly host, Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And unto her was granted that she should be arrayed in the fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. He saith unto me, Right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb, continued the angel. Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from the Elohim. Revelation 19:7-9. Revelation 21:9-10. Therefore the Lamb's wife is a holy city, and not the church. Well, we've been through this before. The Lamb's wife is the church, 144,000. and they represent the holy city here on earth. Sister White says so in Great Controversy earlier on. She said that Adventist Church is called the holy city today. The Jesuits got in there and took that out of the Great Controversy, but she originally wrote that in there. So it says, they're quoting where she said this in your Great Controversy, page 427. They who were before the throne said of the new Jerusalem, his wife hath made herself ready, and unto her was granted to the city, that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Revelation 19:7-8. Therefore the Lamb's wife will be ready at the close of probation, when the saints are numbered. So the Lamb's wife is ready long before the close of probation, in the 12th hour. For they are her linen. Okay. Well, you know, we're talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about putting on this, being clothed on with this house from heaven. Okay. That's this fine linen, the righteousness of the saints, the sanctuary system, in full operation with people following it 100%, shows that they had put on the fine linen. And at the time that the woman Babylon was burned, the saints' linen were ready. Her destruction shall be a signal that probation is closed. And then some shall be conscious of their doom and shall say, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, we are not saved, Jeremiah 8:20. Others shall wander from sea to sea and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the words of Yahweh and shall not find it. Amos 8:12. When the Elohim people shall have ceased from the Elohim given work, their answer will be, we have nothing for you, the harvest is past, salvation has ceased, you are too late. Now, the next question is, who is the false prophet? As previously explained, the false prophet is not the papacy or the two horned beast. Neither is he the devil, for we read, and the devil that deceived them was cast into a lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. Okay. So the beast and the false prophet deceived those here in the 12th hour to get them to take the mark of the beast. And so those that were deceived to take the mark of the beast were cast alive with the beast and the false prophet in the lake of fire as a type. And so with these, there will be no second resurrection for a lot of these, because there's going to be a special resurrection here in the 12th hour. Those that pierced him at the cross and those that antithetically pierced him today in the 11th hour, and that was Willis Johnson and them, so they're going to be resurrected. And then they're going to also be cast into the lake of fire, and this will be their second death. Those that have been resurrected once and that dies again, that's your wicked. That's in Daniel 12, 1 and 2. These will be cast to the lake of fire, and this will be their second death, which is the type of the millennium, where Satan is going to be destroyed in the millennium. He has the prototype that's playing his part here this side of the millennium, which would be Obama and company. Okay. Said the apostle, and no marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. As the doctrines held by the false prophet cannot be fully supported by the scriptures, miracles are performed to secure the confidence of the people. As the great men and religious leaders declare to the public that the so-called true religion is the truth of the Yeshua, and that the false prophet is his servant, multitudes will fall into the Satan's snare. His false prediction of the coming of the Yeshua will be fulfilled by Satan himself as he appears as an angel of light, for his dazzling brightness and the false fulfillment of the prophet's prediction, in addition to the already overwhelming delusion, will ensure a multitude greater than the first, while appearing to the children of men as a great physician who can heal all their malady. He will bring disease and disaster until populous cities are reduced to ruin and desolation. Great Controversy 589. The woman sitting on the heads, said the angel, the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Revelation 17:9. Okay, this is Obama. I believe at this point, the mouthpiece for the beast, before he mounts the back of that beast, so he rides on the heads, the seven heads, which represents all of Christendom, with the Adventists being part of it. So it says, it has been previously explained that the heads represent the present-day apostolic Christendom. Okay. Apostate. No, the present-day apostate Christendom. They are called mountains, denomination, seven in number. So when Adventist, the seventh church, let us see, apostatized, then she stands for the apostasy of all seven churches. As a prostitute sits on all seven, the symbol with unmistakable evidence revealed that so-called Christendom will submit itself to be governed by the one head of which the woman is a symbol. See the Great Controversy, page 585. It says, preliminary to that miracle working power, Protestantism, Catholicism, and Spiritualism will have grasped each other's hand by the means of a church federation. So here you have it, the House of Israel, represented by those seven heads, seven mountains, seven candlesticks, seven churches, Catholicism one of them, Adventist one of them, and Spiritualism represents all of your Pentecostal churches, which is called Evangelical today. So all those three groups, Catholicism, Protestantism, and Spiritualism, will have grasped each other's hand by the means of a church federation, where the difference of the opinion and the doctrinal points will be considered of no vital importance unto salvation. They will see in that apparently innocent union a great movement for the settlement of the differences as well as for the conversion of the world. At the appearance of the false prophet and of the Satan himself, their expectation would be realized, and the ushering in of the long-expected millennial time of the peace shall be proclaimed to be at hand. Thus, on the surface, it will bear evidence that the world's crises are about to end. But as Elohim people have been warned of it all, they refuse to worship the image of the beast, which is a false international religion, and will be charged as the rebellious disturbers of the peace and troublemakers. This will bring the great persecution of Revelation 12:17. To them it will be said, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? As the saints answer them in the manner of the prophet Elijah, Nay, but in that ye have forsaken the commandment of the Yahweh, and thou hast followed Balaam, it will incur the displeasure of the wicked, and cause them to enrage against the innocent. Well, the first thing that they do is they enrage against Elijah, the one that told them these things. The woman sitting on the beast, well, the Revelator saw in the vision the beast who bears the number 666, which is the two-horned beast, and the false prophet enforcing a false religion, and that religion is the Sharia, Muslim religion, the Sharia law, by law, and miracles within the borders of the government represented by the two-horned beast. So right here in the United States, this is being put into practice right now. Because we have a Muslim president, we have this false religion that is forcing itself to outlaw the Christian religion, here in this country, he was shown another interesting sight. And I saw, he says, a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads. There's all of Christendom right there. And ten horns. That's all of your governments of the earth. Okay. And the woman was arrayed in the purple and scarlet color and decked with the gold and precious stone and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Revelation 17, 3 and 4. This symbol reveals that after the woman has sat on the heads, united the churches, she also succeeded to sit on the beast. The beast is a symbol of the entire present world, both civil, ten horns, and religious, seven heads. As a woman sitting on the heads denotes union of the churches, just so sitting on the beast represents internationally the church and the state governed by the same head, woman. Therefore, an international system of the religion and a combination of church and state. In such a system, the great men of the earth will see a vision of the settling the troubles of the world, welding the people and the nation into a worldwide brotherhood filling by a medium of the religion, 1 Thessalonians 5:3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they shall not escape, though their intention is to reduce crime as well as wars. Their hope will be in the vain. Okay, well, we're getting close to the end of our study. We're going to do a little review here for a minute and then end with a song. What we're learning here is that this little two-horned beast that represents the government of the United States has the number 666 because it's the number of man. This is a local government. And that's the reason why you have the little two-horned beast ruling it. Not the image of the beast. But the image of the beast is made up here by this two-horned beast. And the Washington, D.C. is its headquarters. And so as soon as the image is made and completed, the scarlet-colored beast, which it already has been, then it will take and move into the place of the little two-horned beast's seat and take over and succeed him. So, this brings the close of the study. This hour you can contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the Everlasting Arm. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the Everlasting Arm. Leaning, safe and secure from all harm. Leaning on the Everlasting Arm. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the Everlasting Arm. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the Everlasting Arm. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all harm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the Everlasting Arm. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the Everlasting Arm. I have blessed peace with my Yahshua, leaning on the Everlasting Arm. Leaning, leaning. and secure from all of our leaning on the everlasting heart.